It's nothing but a bad nigga. Ain't getting nothing but a bad nigga. That's all we do it for. It's for the bad nigga.
Hey, I'm getting straight to the bag. So, Kev, live here for the post-game show.
Yes, sir.
The win over Bishop Sycamore, the Houston Texans. What's your thoughts on tonight's game other than the injuries we suffered?
I like what I saw second half, particularly. I gave him a little halftime assessment saying that, what I wanted to see was how was Coach Rule and his coaching staff was going to rally the players, because you can tell that they were really just fell into a lull after McCaffrey went out. And I said that we need to come out here and score at least two touchdowns to get the win. And we actually did that plus a field goal. So that just lets them know that the players, that Rule was able to rally the players. You're talking about short week on the road, injuries to two key vital players, and you're able to pitch a shutout in the second half defensively and put up 17 points half offensively. I was very impressed with that. Injuries is a part of the game. No fan likes it. We truly got to take the manner, the mantra, next man up. And so that means, Chuba Hubbard, Royce Freeman, on offense at running back, with McCaffrey going to be out for a while. And then on defense, guys like rookie, Keith Taylor, Rashad Melvin, whoever else at cornerback is going to have to step up. So, I've seen teams that have had similar injuries and lost significant players for, several weeks, if not for the year, and still were competitive and still, was able to make a playoff push. So, even though these are big key injuries, it's not going to lower my expectations. Not that I had high ones in the second year, but, going 3-0 and the way this defense is playing, my expectations are rising a little bit. I'm still cautiously optimistic, but like I say, the second half, what I saw, let me know that Coach Rule and these really got the players' ear. Something that we had talked about, lack of scoring in the second half. We scored 17. I was glad to see that.
Yeah, I think the good news is with the injuries, you have an extra few days to recover. I think we get our first real test next week at Dallas. We've kind of got the Jets and Texans kind of like tune-up games. The way I saw our schedule, I thought if we could come out of it 3-1, we'd be in great shape. We got New Orleans, which I think was a good win. Today, it's like our biggest thing today, I just wanted to come out healthy, make a statement, do what we had to do, take care of business. But Thursday night football, it's just such a short turnaround. You've got McCaffrey at 30 carries, or 30 touches, on Sunday, just 4 days ago, just to come back, turn around, and have to carry another heavy workload again, soft tissue injuries. I know they happen when you have that much, grind and wear and tear on your body like that. JC's injury just looked like a freak accident on the turf. It came down on his foot wrong. I looked up a Cowboys player, DeMarcus Lawrence, I think broke his foot. So it's 6 to 8 weeks. So maybe that's the time frame we're looking at with J.C. Horn being out. But, remember, A.J. Bouye should be back. I think he had a soft tissue injury that held him out today, but he may be healthy next week. So maybe he steps in for J.C. We'll just have to find out. That's just part of the game, next man up. So, we got off to a great start. Came out quick, started up 7-0, had pressure on the young quarterback. What do you think happened the rest of the first half that caused us to slow down?
Well, again, I contribute to slowdown to, the team just being shell-shocked, mentally, with McCaffrey going out. Now, again, and I don't know how many times I got to keep bringing this up, but it's really depressing me that when we need a yard, 1 yard, we can't get it. We cannot get 1 yard, to save our lives for nothing, bro. I hate saying it. I'm just not confident. I don't care how they line up, who we against. It's just – I'm hoping that the failures that we're having on short yardage really, really sticks with Rule and Fitterer and his front office during the offseason, what needs to be addressed. You know, we're making things way too comfortable for teams because we can't pick up a yard. 1 yard. We're not talking about 3 or 4 yards. We're talking about 1 yard. This is probably maybe like the fifth time this year we failed to pick up 1 yard on either third down or fourth down to keep it going. Man, we lucky that the teams that we played against, you know, we just caught them at a time where they may not have been the stiffest competition, but against really, really good teams, that'll get you. But before the McCaffrey injury, I mean, things were going good. We was getting about 8 yards to carry. I mean, 8 yards to play. DJ Moore was eating good early and often. That was good to see him to get off to a good, strong start. You know, normally it's usually the opposite of a slow start, and he'll, you know, beast later on. And glad that, you know, the little discomfort he had, he was able to come back in the game. But, that first half, I think it was just more of a shock with McCaffrey going out that caused the lull, because prior to that, everything was rolling pretty good.
And I thought we got a little complacent on the two-minute drill as well. I think Phil Snow went into that deep cover too to try to keep everything in front of us, make them milk the clock. Kind of gave up some chunk plays there to get when they got their first touchdown. But the defense really regrouped the second half. I mean, but tell Houston what, 3 points the whole half. So, and we saw the same defense we saw the first two games. We just got to have to, you know, put together four quarters at some point. Now, I mean, the second half, we did convert some fourth and shorts. They had some success with the quarterback sneaks. I like that design play they ran with Tommy Tremble on the goal line. So hopefully that's a sign of things to come. Now, what do you think? I thought Sam Darnold, when McCaffrey went out, kind of stepped up and made some good throws. I mean, between Joe Brady being able to scheme guys, get them open, I'm just amazed at the throwing windows you're seeing. You know, when people talk about Joe Brady, that's what he does. Man, he makes your quarterback's life so easier. And you're seeing wide receivers run wide open through the zones. I know we talked about Lovie Smith on our last podcast about how he likes to play that Tampa do with those two deep safeties. He plays them very deep. You saw DJ was just running wide open through the zone and finding these open spots. And it was just easy, so easy. It seemed like we were moving the ball so easy against that defense. How do you feel about the pass protection today, though? I mean, Darnold did take a couple hits and got moved off a spot a few times.
As far as the pass protection, I didn't care for it. Sam Darnold was sacked 3 times for 14 yards. As far as hits, he got hit 5 times. So, when you look at it, the number of times he dropped back, we're talking about 34 dropbacks, 3 sacks, and, you know, 5 quarterback hits. So that's 8. So you're talking about 1 out of 4 times when he dropped back for a pass, he's either getting sacked or hit. Didn't particularly, you know, care for that too much. But again, with this offensive line, it's to be expected. It's just hard to watch. When we go 5 wide and, you know, have no tight ends or anybody to, you know, help out, it makes me real nervous, you know. And I saw Houston, you know, send 6 a couple times when we went 5 wide and had good success getting either a sack or, you know, rattling the pocket. So I just think that this is just building more and more of case why, you know, this offensive line has a long way to go, long, long, long way to go. And I don't want to say that this is what it is, but with each game, I'm looking for improvement, anything marginal to feel like it's starting to turn the corner. And I'm just not seeing it yet from a pass protection point of view. You know, run blocking, not too much better. 33 carries, 117 yards. That's 3.5 yards to carry. From a blocking point of view, we just got such a long way to go, and it's a shame that what potentially could be a very good explosive offensive team is going to be held up by the offensive line.
Yeah, and it looks like it's interior pressure coming from from the most part coming. I mean, I think Moten had a few bad plays today as well. You saw some missed assignments on a run play. He got beat in pass protection by Merciless, I think, one time. But primarily you saw the interior pressure is just where we're struggling. I think Darnold does a good job of evading pressure and buying time, and receivers do a good job, you know, with the scramble drill getting open. But it's definitely something we got to sharpen up on, especially when we start to play these better teams. But what I do like is how, I mean, we got 9 different guys' catches. So, I mean, even though McCaffrey went out, we kind of replaced him by committee. You saw Terrace Marshall get involved today. 4 catches, 48 yards. So it was good to see TMJ start to, you know, be a part of the offense. Want to see Robbie get more involved. Only 2 targets, 1 catch, 8 yards. So hopefully that's something we'll see. Now here's Monty just joined the stream. What's up, man? How do you feel about the game today?
I mean, I'm as happy as I can be that we won. You know, I definitely don't see myself complaining about winning. I haven't heard, I guess, all what y'all have said. So, I mean, I guess I might be repeating a lot of what y'all said. I need to just see more from the offensive side of the ball. I definitely think Sam Darnold had a great game. It sucks to see Christian McCaffrey go down, but, you know, even with Christian McCaffrey going down, that shit, you know, we look stagnant without Christian McCaffrey on the field at times. And that is concerning in my opinion, you know, because we have played 3 below average teams, and every week we have, you know, we have that problem where we have a great half, you know, whether it be the first half or second half, you know, have a great half, 1 half, and then second half is like we forgot how to play ball. And I think that's going to be going down the stretch of the season is going to be a problem for us. And this offensive line is terrible. You know, it's 3 weeks in a row now, 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, 4th and 2. You know, it's just like we just can't get a push up front. And it's add missing Christian McCaffrey to the mix. And, dude, this, I'm happy we won. Let me say this. I am happy we won. We have a lot. I'm not confident going into and, you know, playing Dallas next week with what we just saw this week, man. That's just me being honest.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's the thing, man. It's 4th and 1s, 3rd and 1s. They're not going to come back to bite you against teams like the Jets and Houston. But next week, I mean, Dallas, as good as our defense is, I mean, you're asking them to contain, you know, Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Ezekiel Elliott, Tony Pollard, and that arsenal that they're bringing and their offensive line as well. You got to, you know, put points on the board and convert and jump out on front of these guys, because it's going to be hard to hold Dallas to under 10 points. I mean, you saw what they did with Tampa Bay. Dak had, what, 400-something yards that game? So, and against that defense. So, I mean, we definitely got a lot of time to get better before we go up against Dallas. But on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, look again, held Houston to 17 carries, 42 yards. I mean, sacked Davis Mills 4 times. You know, you look at these defensive stats, hit the quarterback 9 times, 6 tackles for loss. I mean, this defense just seems like they're picked up right where they left off. I mean, good game. Hassan Reddick's everywhere, 1.5 sacks, 1 tackle for loss. Morgan Fox had a half a sack. Burns again with another sack. So, I mean, this defensive line in front 7 just seems like they're getting better every week. What you think of their performance today?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And you know, and to me, with our offense looking the way it has been over the last 3 weeks, with just how inconsistent the offense has looked, that's kind of what, you know, you have to bank on, you know. And it's been good that we've only allowed, what, 10 points a game. You know, it's like tonight it was only 9. So, you know, our defense is, you win games with the way our defense is playing, and that's what we've been doing. So again, I'm not at all upset that we won tonight, because like you said, you know, our defense has played stellar all year, and they picked up right where they left off. But just how long do you expect that play to continue, especially when you can't run the ball, especially when, you know, third and ones and 4th and 1s, you absolutely get no push up front. You know, like, let's be honest, y'all, like, that last touchdown from Sam Darnold shouldn't have been a touchdown. You know, they should have blew that play dead seconds, you know, before he barely gets over the line, you know. So That being said, our defense is amazing. You know, that's I'm happy with our defense. Minus JC Horn going down. You know, I hate to see that. And you know, Boye coming back at the right time is perfect, but dude, I'm worried with the way our offense looks right now, man. This, you know, I've ragged on Sam Darnold all year, and Sam Darnold has absolutely been the best part of this offense. And, you know, and it's sad because, you know, we finally get to see what Sam Darnold can be, and then we pair him with a trash offensive line. It just – it's frustrating, bro. It is definitely frustrating.
Hey, Monty, what size on Sam Darnold jersey you want, bro?
Hey, actually, when we make the playoffs, then we will talk about it.
Raising the bar.
But yeah, but I mean, for me, I mean, think about this, fellas. Playoffs is on the line. 5 seconds left. Ball on the 1 yard line. How confident are you that we're gonna win that fucking game, bro?
Bro, I'm not. You talk about playoffs on the line, bro. This game on the line.
No. I was saying if the game is on line. I didn't say playoff. I said if the game is on the line. 5 seconds left. We on the 1 yard line. How confident are you?
We lose the game. It's just that. And bro, I'll take it a step further. This ain't just been this year. You know, last year, 2 years ago, that's been the problem. We get on the goal line, 1 yard. We just need a 1 yard push, and we don't get it. So I mean, this isn't just a one season. You know, I'm gonna be getting my Lawrence bag. Dog, we are trash up front. You know what I'm saying? It's like we're big trash up front, and it doesn't look to get any better anytime soon. At least not this season. So you ask me, game on the line, we need a yard. How confident I am, bro? The game is lost if it comes down to that. In my opinion.
Yeah, they made a good punt on that last quarterback. He looked like the refs was just tired and wanted to get up out of there. So it looked like we got stuffed even on that QB sneak.
Yeah, but they owed us that, man, because that pass interference with that ball was like 6 feet over the person's head, man. I was just like, come on, bro. They owed us on that one. You know what I'm saying?
And you know what, bro? I think the refs owed us on a few plays that – it was the pass interference they called – on Houston when Sam threw it to Dan Arnold on the side. Bro, you want my opinion? I was sitting there looking at the game like, bro, that's not a pass interference, like, in my opinion. But when you miss the very first drive of the game, you miss the pass interference against DJ on the sideline. And then, you know, it's just a bunch of questionable calls that you make or don't make all game. Yeah, man, you know, you got to give us a touchdown at that point. But make no mistake about it, we were short. Like, we definitely were short. And that's the most concerning part about it. You get another game, another week, and the same situation. Bro, we get stopped on 4th and 1. And hey, man, I'm happy we won, but we may be the worst 3-0 team in football right now.
We sound like the media on that.
Right.
Hey, man. Hey, I call a spade, bro. That's what it looked like right now, man.
You know, when you look at our schedule, though, we needed these three because that back half of the schedule is going to get brutal. You know, you're talking about, you know, trips to Buffalo stand out. I think we got we got the NFC. You know, Philadelphia's looked pretty good so far. I think they're, what, are they 2-0?
No, they lost to the 49ers, so they 1-1. Dallas Monday night.
Right. So, I mean, we got some tough games. We got Tampa Bay still to play twice. I mean,
New England three times at the end of the year.
With that defense they got. So, I mean, we got some tough games left on our schedule. So, I mean, I think we really needed to start out 6-2 at least to be able to have a shot at the playoffs. So, 3-0 beating teams we're supposed to. I think we're still in pretty good shape now, but still got a lot to get better at, too. Just to clarify this comment, J.C. Horn's not out for the season. He just has some broken bones. I think Matt Rhule in his post-presser said he had multiple broken bones in his foot. I think that's a 6 to 8 week timeline usually. So he'll miss some weeks, may go to short-term IR, but I doubt he's done for the season.
And I counted it out. You could probably expect him back after the bye week when we when we head to Miami, which would be perfect because that's when we hit that rough backhand stretch.
So let me ask y'all this, fellas, do y'all bring him back? Like, where y'all stand on that? Because hear me out. You get AJ Boye back. What's the rush of putting JC Horn back on the field? And especially, like, I mean, because right now we're 3-0. So, you know, I feel like right now it's too early to tell if you bring JC Horn back or not, you know, because 3-0 can turn into, you know, 3-5 in a couple weeks with us. So let's see how the season plays out. But do you bring him back? Do you rush him back on the field? I don't think you do. You know, especially if at that point we're still winning and still have a winning season. JC Horn would just have to play next season, if I'm in mind. And if I'm the coach, you know, there's why risk re-injuring, you know, the foot if you don't have to. And I really hope that he doesn't come back. Or not saying that I don't want him to come back, but I hope that we sit him for the rest of the season. And that's if we're a 5-5, 6-5 team, right? You know, so because at that point, I don't see the need of rushing him back onto the field. If we're making the play for the playoffs, that's a different story. But where do y'all stand there?
Well, for me personally, if he passes all the tests, and I know they're gonna rigorously put him to the test. I mean, you know, if anything, we've seen Rule be the type that's overly cautious. If 8 weeks go by and he passes everything, again, you know, depending on where we're at, if we're still in the fight, if we're still in the, you know, wild card mix, you know, hell yeah, I'll bring him back. But, if we're like 4-9 or some shit like that, then, you know, like, you know, see you next year. But if he's healthy, I think he should play, you know, regardless of the outcome. And you know, like I said, you know, with all the speculation on Twitter, some online pro dot said something about, oh, from where I look, it looked like a ruptured Achilles, and, you know, everybody getting all in it worked up and in their feelings, like, oh no. And then, you know, come to find out it's just, you know, some broken bones. It reminds me of, you know, what happened with, even though it's a different type of injury, but, you know, when Greg Olsen, you know, went out and he was able to come back, you know, after a couple of months, you know, with some, I think his was some bone damage as well. I think his may have been more ligament than bone, but yeah, if he's healthy, you know, bring him back, man. I think this team with this defense, it's going to keep us in most games. And if Sam Darnold gets his confidence going and like I said, minimize the mistakes, and if somehow we can overcome this lack of blocking from the offensive line, you know, like they said on TV tonight, Carolina going to be that team that don't nobody want to face. So, well, that's how I look at it.
I think what AJ allows you to do is don't bring him back until that foot is fully healed. I don't want him to come trying to play hurt with it wrapped up and he's 80%, 75%. Let that thing fully heal. You know, we're not, you know, this is our first round pick of 2021. I mean, he's got a long career ahead of him. You got to protect your investment. You know, we're not trying to, you know, force him out there when he's not at his best. So I think with the depth in the secondary, it just allows us time to let him fully heal, get right, let the veterans take over and ride the ship for a while. But, I mean, you saw Keith Taylor. He had a good coverage rep today. We know what AJ Bouye can do. Rashawn Melvin, I thought, got picked on a little bit in this game, but I thought he's been overall solid the last two games. So guys just have to step up. I mean, Justin Burris went down, too, with a groin injury. I thought Sam Franklin came in, played very well, got a not a pass break. I guess he kind of got a pass breakup, got a good hit, knocked the ball loose on one crosser over the middle. So maybe he's going to step in because groin injuries are like hamstrings, you know, soft tissue, and you just never know. They just nag you. You don't know how effective those guys will be coming back. So those guys just going to have to step up, especially next week.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so low. I was trying to turn my mic on. I agree with you. I don't think that you rule Horn out, you know, especially with playoffs on the picture. I think that it all just depends on how well, you know, I feel like how guys are playing down the stretch with JC Horn out, you know, because again, if we can get AJ Bouye playing at a high level or playing, you know, even at a above average level, I just don't see the need of rushing JC Horn back, especially if we're still winning games. Now, I do understand that, yeah, he's likely our best corner, and you want him to get those reps, man. But, Kev, like you said, with Greg Olsen, I don't want another Greg Olsen situation. I don't want us to bring him back. And he, you know, because, you know, Greg re-hurt his foot that season, you know, and then even came back the next year and wasn't, or was it? Don't let me get my timeline mixed up. But anyway, you know, he dealt with that foot injury for years, you know, and that's one thing I just don't. J.C. Horn's young, he you know, so he probably won't have that same problem that Greg had. But let's not even risk it, especially like I said, if we're still talking about we're winning games down the stretch, you know, in another 8 weeks, if we're playing for playoff position, and I don't see the need of rushing them back, you know, and that's just because I think that you do more damage trying to rush him back than just let him sit out the year, let him get those mental reps, and then getting him back on the, you know, because we all know that a healthy J.C. Horn is going to be a very good corner, you know, so I it's just more, and looking at how Rule handled the Christian McCaffrey situation, I'm definitely leaning toward, yeah, let's let him sit. You know, there's no need to rush him back. We have the corner depth that we've been looking for years. I just hope that we don't jump the gun to try to get him back on the field.
Yeah, we got a question about CMC. McCaffrey has a hamstring injury. That's probably one of the most least predictable or the hardest injury to predict. They nag you forever how long. Only way to really heal that is rest. I know Tyrod Taylor, the Texans quarterback, hurt his hamstring. And I think he's on short-term IR for 3 weeks. I think that may make sense for McCaffrey as well. Because if you don't rest that thing and heal it, it's going to nag him all season. So I think with C-Mac, you just got to kind of, you know, let him come along slow, rest that hammy, get it right, and make sure he comes back at 100%. Well, I mean, speaking of C-Mac, what do you guys think about? Would you bring in another running back? Are you happy with what you saw from Chuba and Royce Freeman today?
You know, like I was saying in the chat, Will, you know, we can have running backs in their prime. You know, with this offensive line, how, you know, it's really a non-factor for me. But I get it. You know, a veteran running back, good at blitz pickup. You know, can able to, you know, grind out the yards. I mean, I can understand the need for it, but I'm particularly, you know, I mean, we definitely have, you know, money to spend. You know, I think we got like, you know, like the second most cap space, you know, remaining right now. But like who's out there that's not like scraping the bottom of the barrel? You know, I know we mentioned names like, you know, Adrian Peterson, Frank Gore, and, you know, these long tenure veterans who way past their prime, but still, I guess you consider serviceable. You know, I'm more of the line thinking about, you know, a guy that we had on the team during preseason, Spencer, I think it was like number 33. You know, he was someone that, to me, from a running back perspective, I think should get a good look. You know, he knows our playbook, you know, played in an all, you know, training camp and preseason. So he would be someone that if there was to be a move at running back while McCaffrey covers, you know, I would go with him because he showed elusiveness, quick burst. Again, pass blocking is always just as vital as anything else. But for me, you know, I'd rather go with an in-house option at running back than to, you know, try to wish and hope that there's some magic dust left on one of these older veteran running backs that's just, you know, sitting on the couch right now watching the game like us.
Yeah, I mean, Royce Freeman is not a bad player. I just think he doesn't know the play. I mean, he just got here, what, last week or a couple weeks ago? Get acclimated, you know, understand his blocking assignments, understand his routes and different. So, I mean, he's got a lot to learn to just get acclimated into the new offense. So I wouldn't really write him off just yet. We saw what he could do at Oregon. I mean, he made some good reps in Denver as well. I think he rushed for 500 yards one season. So I'd look forward to see what he can bring to the table. And I mean, Chuba too. I mean, you know, he's a rookie. I think we're a little hard on him considering this is his first year in the league. He's still getting adjusted to becoming a pro back. You know, it's a little bit different there. So, I mean, I think you saw a little bit of glimpses of what he brings to the table on those final couple of drives. He was able to break some runs. I mean, he's not like as shifty as C-Mac, but if he has a little crease, I mean, he can explode through that and get some chunk yards that way. So you don't replace a Christian McCaffrey with any one player. It's got to be kind of a by committee thing. Maybe you'll see more of a passing attack as well. I mean, it's good to see, like I said, Terrace Marshall get more involved in the offense today. DJ Moore, I mean, look at the kind of day he had today. Almost, I mean, if he catches that, Sam Darnold hits him on that deep pass late in the game, I mean, how many yards would he have had today? So we'll just have to see how these other guys step up in the absence of C-Mac.
I agree, fellas. I you know, as we were talking in the group chat, I was probably a lot harder on Chuba than what I realistically should have been. I do think that the running back position, has to be addressed sooner than later, or the backup running back position, you know, because I don't think it's realistic or fair to expect Chuba to come in and, like you said, Will, to even give us half of the production that McCaffrey brings. I don't think that's realistic, you know, his rookie season. And you honestly, guys, Chuba reminds me a lot of Christian his rookie year as well. You know, he is, you know, the game is a lot faster. You know, you're expected to do a, you know, your, for instance, pass blocking sets. You're like, you're expected to get your nose in there, and you know, and that's a real thing versus college, where you may not be looked at, you know, as a pass blocking running back. You know, and I feel like there's just a lot of things that Chuba does, or things that I feel like he can improve on, but just being young, that's what he's struggling with. But I saw enough at the second half to where it's like, okay, you with some time, he can be a good or serviceable running back too. I agree. We need to see Freeman a little bit more, though, you know, because when Christian's out, our running offense is non-existent. And it's no way you can expect to continue to win games that way. Like, I mean, even with DJ having the game that he had, you know, it was really a more of a one-sided type of offense. It was DJ Moore and then everybody else. And I feel like that's not an effect. Was it Sam Darnold throwing the ball 30 plus times a game? In my opinion, that's not how you want to win the game. You know, that's not what they want to do on the offensive side of the ball. They want to run the ball, and with Christian McCaffrey out of out for foreseeable future, you have to get guys in there that can fill it up. And Chuba, he showed me enough at the end of this first half, or the second half. I'm sorry, there was, I can be confident with him and Freeman, where they can kind of soften that blow of losing Christian McCaffrey. But I know how y'all feel about reaching, got older running back, reaching out for running backs. But hey, man, if Todd Gurley is willing to take a pay cut or willing to come in here and play, bro, hey, Kev, I hear you, bro. Go get Gurley, man. Look, I mean, I'm under the impression we're a lot better than just a middle of the pack team. At 3-0, you give me a couple more wins, and I'm saying, look, y'all, we can compete for a playoff spot and really do some damage. With that being said, I don't want to hear that, oh, the you know what I'm saying, the answer is on the roster. If that was the case, we wouldn't be in this position. It's not on the roster. Same with the offensive tackle, same with the offensive, you know, it's not on the roster. It ain't much we can do about the offensive line. With that being said, you have to put pieces around Sam and this offense to soften that blow. And right now, I don't know if Chuba's that, you know, and especially if you can get Gurley to kind of soften that blow as well, and Chuba, and hopefully getting Christian McCaffrey back. That's a lot better, in my opinion, than Chuba, Freeman, and whoever else that, you know, that we have currently here on the roster.
Yeah, well, for me, as far as with Gurley, it's just his health, man. You know, when you got, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, the arthritis in the knees, bro. I mean, as a running back, I mean, Will, you running back, so you definitely would know. I mean, you know, if a running back, you know, knees are pretty much, you know, shot or not dependable. I mean, you know, it's more so like a Gurley based on who he used to be versus what he is now, in my opinion. But
yeah, I mean, we saw Gurley last year. I mean, he was good in stretches, but, you know, he just couldn't sustain it. And I mean, that arthritis in the knee just eventually catch up to him. I mean, if you bring somebody like him, man, he's eventually just probably going to have to be on a pitch count. You know, limited carries, limited touches, limited reps. See if you can just get the most out of that knee that you can.
Right. But I didn't mean to cut you off, Will, but let's be realistic. That's what you're going to ask for your running backs now. You know, you're putting all – you're going to really realistically put all of them on a pitch count. You're not – you know, Chuba's not carrying the ball 20-plus times a game. Same with Freeman. You know, you're really going by committee. So with that being said, if I can just get Todd Gurley in for it, because we don't know how long Christian McCaffrey is going to be out. That's just what where Christian McCaffrey could be out a week. He could be out months at a time. So with that being said, I feel like you have to prepare for that. You know, you have to prepare for the worst. And if you can get Todd Gurley even at 70%. With Chuba, with Freeman, I don't see how that would hinder or hurt your offense. You know, because again, I'm not trusting Sam Darnold I just don't want him to throw the ball 30-plus times a game. You know, that's not a winning recipe in my opinion. You know, having him gunsling all game, every game, that's not a way that we want to win. And I feel like adding another – now, again – it doesn't have to be Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley was just the first guy that came to my mind. It can't be Adrian Peterson and Frank Gore though. You know, we have to find a gray area between there. But I just think that adding a capable running back to what we already have wouldn't do anything but help, especially with us not knowing how long Christian McCaffrey is going to be out.
Yeah, but we're in a catch 22 because what we've been talking about is the biggest weakness is offensive line. So, you know, for me, you know, like I said, we can bring in, you know, anybody in their prime. I mean, like, I think that Sam Darnold, you know, throwing it maybe, you know, with this offensive line, the way they run block. I mean, you know, this just really shows that a lot of the rushing yards Christian McCaffrey has gotten so far has been mostly off his talent versus, you know, the offensive line that he's had in front of him, you know, and that's just amazing that he's a top five. And you can always make a case that he's a, you know, best back in the game and really hasn't had a good above average offensive line in front of him. So, you know, so for me, I get it. I was comfortable with Sam Darnold only throwing it maybe 25 times a game. But, you know, with this offensive line, I mean, by default, we may have to lean more on Sam Darnold than we want to because, you know, like I said, just watching this team run block and with the talent that McCaffrey have out now, it's just seeing like more, you know, basic runs. I mean, yeah, we saw a nice burst by Royce Freeman up the middle. You know, Chuba had a couple of nice bursts late, you know, grinding out the clock. But, you know, when it's early and strong, you know, what we're going to get out the running game? You know, that's just me. And Monty, it's not that I'm disagreeing with you, but like I said, I just feel like with this offensive line, like whoever we add to running back, with the way this line blocking, how much effective could anybody be? So it might be, you know, leaning on Sam I am more than we want to.
Yeah, behind this O line wouldn't be ideal, but we got to do what we got to do, right? Update is McCaffrey has a strained hamstring. Yeah, strain is basically a tear. So the question is, what degree of a tear? Is it a partial tear? Is it a full tear? I mean, if it's the mild, I think week four is definitely a long shot. But is it going to be 3 weeks? Is it going to be 8 weeks? I just don't think we know yet, especially with the hamstrings. It's just hard to predict how long, how serious they are and what the recovery time for that will be.
And then when you look at our schedule, I mean, when you talk about the next few weeks, I mean, if we was going to rest them, I mean, okay, at Dallas, October 3rd, then two back-to-back home games, Philadelphia, Minnesota. I would have loved to seen a Dalvin Cook versus McCaffrey type of game. But, you know, that would be, I could say, you know, around that three-week time frame, you know, at the Giants, at Atlanta. So, I mean, really this stretch of games, however long he, you know, once they, I'm sure they're going to get an MRI done, you know, when they get back to Charlotte. But, you know, whatever time frame that's missed, if we're going to do running back by committee, you know, the teams that we're coming up against, you know, in the next several weeks. I mean, this would be the time to employ that, you know, running back by committee approach to you know, make up for the loss of the production of a McCaffrey. So, you know, we'll just have to see.
So we need a short yardage back. I mean, my mentality with that is, I mean, if you can't, I don't think Marshawn Lynch is going to move defensive tackles. So, you know, if you can't block people up front, I don't think your short yardage run game will be effective regardless, whether it's Earl Campbell back there or whether it's Alvin Kamara, whether whoever you put back there. Le'Veon Bell. No, Le'Veon Bell signed with the Ravens. He's on their practice squad.
So we would have to sign him off their practice squad unless they got him protected and put him on the 53-man roster is how it would work.
Right.
Now, does anyone to take a flyer on? I mean, I would take a flyer on a Le'Veon Bell, you know, if there was going to be a move to bring somebody else in, you know.
Yeah, he has a skill set of McCaffrey. I mean, they're very similar backs. He's just bigger, probably bigger, more physical, obviously. But, I mean, he can run the same, use them the same ways, put them in a slot, runs all the routes, patient runner. I mean, they're very similar in style. So maybe he is a good system fit, but I don't think he's a Matt Rhule type of guy. I really think they're going to roll with Chuba Hubbard and Royce Freeman. It just seems like Matt Rhule has never been a guy that's afraid to play his draft picks and put trust in the young players. So I think, you know, we can talk about people on other teams and free agents all we want, but I really think it's the Chuba Hubbard show until further notice.
Did we lose money?
Spencer Brown. Yeah, don't be surprised if he gets called up from the practice squad this week. He had a good preseason. He had a good camp. Runs hard, physical guy. So I would definitely expect to see him maybe get a shot on the 53-man roster, maybe not activated, but we'll see how that plays out. Tell him that with Deontay. And, you know, man, I get it. You know, with Daly and, you know, the interior offensive line struggling the way they are. But if you watch – now, granted, it was only five reps. But Brady Christensen struggled, too, on in the limited bit of action he had the last game. I think Deontay Brown, while he's a very solid run blocker, I think he's not ready for, you know, NFL competition in terms of pass protection. He's got to work on his feet, get a little bit better. Still probably like to see him come down and wait. So it's not grass isn't always greener on the other side. You just have to trust your coaching staff that these guys just aren't ready. Because we already know if a rookie's ready to play, Matt Rhule's going to play him. I mean, he's proven that over the last couple of years. What do you see from Deontay and Brady, Kev, that why they probably aren't getting many reps right now?
Yeah, well, from with Deontay Brown, you know, a lot of concern was weight, but what I'm hearing is he's doing a great job maintaining his weight. What I'm hearing is he's in the low 330s, which is what they were, you know, targeting him for, what they wanted him to be at. But as far as, you know, why they haven't made it into the game, you know, if we listen, and we got to say this with a grain of salt, what Matt Rhule say, you know, he says that, Deontay Brown doesn't have that position flexibility. I guess basically saying he's just a one position player, just a guard. As far as Brady Christensen goes, like I say, he got limited reps, but, you know, going against, you know, frontline competition and limited reps so far, he's left a lot to be desired. I think that over time, I like to think that he'll grow into it because he definitely has some, you know, characteristics and some traits and some abilities to perform. I feel better with him more on the inside at guard than I do at tackle at this stage. But, you know, watching him play left guard against the Saints, it just really made me have some reservation about, you know, what's really the best for him at this point.
Yeah, and about that position flexibility, you got to think about how NFL rosters work. You know, you have a certain amount of guys. You have a 53-man roster and only a certain amount of guys can be active on game day. So if you want backup offensive linemen, you don't know which lineman is going to get hurt. Is it going to be your tackle? Is it going to be your left guard? Is it going to be your right guard? So being able to have backup linemen that can play multiple positions is beneficial, because now you don't have to carry a backup for every spot on the offensive line. You can say, okay, this guy can play tackle and guard, so whichever position gets hurt, we can sub him in here. So because Deontay Brown doesn't have that flexibility, it's not convenient to really keep him as a backup on the active roster. Now, if he can work his way to become a starting guard, like a John Miller, I guess, is the only other guy that doesn't play multiple positions, then yeah, I think he would be activated week to week. Shaq Thompson. I think it's Morgan Fox. I mean, I think these three games, he has been everywhere. I think he kind of like the piece in Phil Snow's defense that I think allows everyone to do what they do. He can play five technique, he can play three technique, he can play defensive end in a 4-3. They put him all across the offensive line. He consistently wins his one-on-one matchups. He takes on double teams. He's strong in the run, very disciplined with gap integrity. He gets after the passer. I mean, I think he got another sack and QB hit today. Went through three games. I really think he's the best. He's probably been our best defensive player, surprisingly. Really good offseason acquisition. I did a kind of a mini breakdown on him on Twitter this morning, just with the Saints game alone. I mean, he also had a strong game against the Jets and put in another great performance tonight. So I think if we were to, you know, give partial season awards, I think you would have to give Morgan Fox as the MVP of that defense through three games.
Yeah, and with me, you know, I know the stats don't really support it, but if you also watch, I think someone who's been equally effective, just not as spectacular, has been, you know, Daquan Jones.
Oh, definitely.
You know what I mean? And when you talk about an improved play of our linebackers, it's because Daquan Jones is holding up, you know, he's occupying two blockers. You know, he's not getting pushed, you know, backwards. He's definitely allowing, Shaq Thompson, you know, Jermaine Carter, and whoever else we have back at linebacker, he's allowing them to be cut loose. So, you know, even though, you know, nose tackle doesn't have the flashy stats, you know, but I just think that he's someone that has been equally of value when you cut on the film. And everybody's talking about how good Shaq Thompson is playing right now. You know, a lot of that can go to the play of guys like Fox and Daquan Jones, because they're occupying blockers. I'm not seeing a whole lot of second level effective blocks like we have seen in the past. So
never felt so unhappy with a win injury to see. You know, the thing on the bright side is week three. So if guys are gonna get hurt now, they'll be recovered by December when we need them. So you can look at it that way too. If you want to have a more optimistic view of it. I mean, hamstring injury, maybe 3-4 weeks. Horn's foot's probably 6 to 8 weeks. So, I mean, she would have both of these guys down for that stretch when we need them the most, you know, trying to make that playoff run in December. Well, yeah, I mean, Derrick Brown's another guy that I think has played extremely well. He hasn't lit up the stat book like, you know, a lot of people want to see, but every play he's dominant, taking on double teams, wreaking havoc, pushing guys in the backfield. You know, what Phil Snow likes to call is knock them backs, where you knock your opposing guy back, you know, a couple yards. He consistently does that, you know, gets penetration, controls, strong at the point of attack. So, I mean, he's definitely showing his worth for that top 10 pick we used on him last year. Mm-hmm. I think another improved guy, I mean, Bravion Roy, the young guys, Roy and Nixon, both been solid in a rotational role.
Now, one thing, Will, I will say that was highly uncharacteristic tonight was on our defense was the five offside penalties. Mm-hmm. Ah, man, those, bro. Like, I know they only 5 yards, but I think Burns himself had like two, you know. And now a couple of them, I was looking like, I don't really see it like that. But hey, you know, they on the field and closer. But that's something that's definitely got to get cleaned up. You know, I think it was you know, those type of penalties that just help make the yardage shorter, which help, you know, keep this Houston team in the game, you know, more than what they should have. But yeah, them five, them DBOs, you know, we were talking about the DBOs at training camp. Those definitely were DBO moves. And
I mean, it's one thing to give Davis Mills, you know, an extra play on a penalty, but you don't want to do that against. Do you want to do that same thing against Dak Prescott next week? Probably not. So definitely got to get that type of stuff cleaned up. Frankie Lou, yeah, Louvu did play a lot today. I thought he was used effectively. He had a good pass rush today. I think Morgan Fox might have took his sack though, but that's the way he liked it, man. He competing for sacks.
Now Frankie got one by himself. He had he got a sack and a tackle for loss and two quarterback hits.
They must have changed it because the broadcast said they credited Fox with it at first.
Yeah, they split the sack between Hassan Reddick and Fox, right. And they went and gave Frankie one all to himself.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's one thing, you know, about Hassan Reddick. Like, you know, if he can just get himself under control when he gets at the quarterback, he's probably had five sacks that he's given up to not being able to wrap him up the first time around, bro. Like.
Right.
So I get it. Whatever he's doing to get to the quarterback works. I mean, he is beating these. I mean, I know we was talking about how light in the ass he is at 235, 240 pounds, but man, he is just whooping these, you know, offensive tackles' ass, bro. You know, getting off the ball, different moves to get up underneath, and you know, to be getting back there so quick. So,
yeah, like look at the next couple quarterbacks we got to face: Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts. You definitely got to wrap those guys up once you get there. You don't want to let those guys get, you know, free.
Right.
Dante Jackson has really improved his tackling. Oh, yeah, he definitely has. I think he's been another guy on defense that's been a standout player through the first three games. I mean, he's been great in coverage. I like how Phil Snow's letting the guys play a lot more man coverage than he did last year and where Ron Rivera and Perry Fuell had him doing as well. But, I mean, today, I mean, he had a tackle on Brandon Cooks, you know, right in front of the first down marker to get them off the field. Last week, that tackle against Alvin Kamara, who's not an easy guy to bring down, I thought was very good play by Dante. He's probably the most improved player, one of the most improved players on the roster this year. So definitely, you know, contract year for him, doing what he needs to do to earn that extension. Yeah, that's happened a couple of times this year. I think we had one against Jameis I thought was a fumble as well. But, you know, hey, who cares how it goes down in the stat book? You make the play, you get them off the field, and give your offense another chance.
Exactly.
Burns and Reddick go too fast in one direction. They have to anticipate. Yeah, I think with an edge rusher, though, you want the quarterback to step up, and then that's when your defensive tackle should be in position to prevent them from moving around a lot. So if everyone stays disciplined in their rush lanes, should work out, and the quarterback should be bottled up in that pocket. Okay. We're approaching an hour here. Anybody have any more questions before we wrap this up for the night? See, Sam Darnold has 888 passing yards this season, the second most during a 3-0 start made by any. Yeah, I mean, can't really knock him. He's been impressive, I think. He's just done a good job of taking what the defense gives him, not making a lot of mistakes. I think what's impressive with him, in my opinion, is, you know, a couple of times he has chances where he could try to elude pressure and try to force a ball into a window, but instead he's throwing the ball away and living another day. Now, I did think he forced one today to Dan Arnold in the first quarter, was it?
Yep.
That was a pretty dangerous pass that, you know, a better safety probably, if Justin Reed was playing, he might have picked that off. But overall, I mean, that's nitpicking. I mean, you thought he overall he just played very well through the first three games. He's taking care of the ball. And hopefully he continues to perform the way he has.
Yeah, and he missed a couple of big scenes down the middle after that with Donald, because the way the Texans are playing that deep cover two, share with their safeties like really back 15, 20 yards. Yeah. You know, to prevent any big plays. I mean, it was several times, you know, I saw Dan Arnold just right along the scene, just wide open as he can be. Like, so it was definitely some yards left out there, but you know, that happens every game with every quarterback. Moving forward though, Sam Darnold is slowly, you know, winning me over with his play, because what I'm seeing now, I'm seeing three, you know, consistent games, you know, and only if you a fantasy nut are you feeling some kind of way. Oh, he had two rushing, no passing touchdowns. Look, two touchdowns, two touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, let's just keep that same energy. Like I said, three games, three passing touchdowns, three rushing touchdowns. We 3-0. Three is the number. So, you know, let's enjoy it and let's get healthy and let's improve and get better.
Hey, this thing has always been ball security. I think he had, two fumbles today. So when he steps up in that pocket, I'd like to see him put two hands on that football, because we were fortunate that our guys were able to hop on it and we didn't have a turnover in our own territory. But, you know, we're going to face these better teams coming up. You know, those are the small things that we got to tighten up. We're not going to be playing the Houston Texans every week from now on. I think this is probably the last, I'll call it a freebie game on our schedule. I think everybody else got, you know, the ability to strike punch back. So,
right.
Chuba dropped the TD pass. Yeah, he was kind of turning around. Should have been a catch, it wasn't an easy catch, but a catch he should have made. He was kind of turning around, spinning around, and trying to catch it at the same time. I think, you know, with running backs, remember, they aren't wide. You know, Tristan McCaffrey is unique in that he's got a full wide receiver skill set as a running back. These other guys are running backs. You know, they're not going to be able to adjust to the ball and run routes like wide receivers. So you got to live with that stuff sometimes. Okay, let's get after four. Go there. You go. It's a good way to wrap this up. Let's go 4-0 next week. We'll be back Monday, breaking down the Dallas Cowboys. That should be a fun week. You know, their fans always like to talk trash and pretty vocal, so it's always good to beat them. And we got a nice little. We have a winning streak against them, don't we?
Yeah. Actually, we do. We've 2015 Thanksgiving, week one, 2018.
Right. Yep. Can't remember the last time we even lost to them. Look that up right now. The last time we lost to Dallas was 19-14 in 2012. So mm-hmm. We won the last two against them. We did have a long losing streak against them from the wild card game to 2015. But yeah, it's been years since we lost to them. So hey.
Yeah, we're gonna see if we can reach out to some Dallas Cowboy fan podcasters and see if we can do a collaboration on Monday.
Right.
So whether you like them or whether you hate them, you know, they fans travel and participate well. So definitely be it's definitely gonna be entertaining if nothing else.
They definitely got one of the more loyal fan bases in all the sports. So we'll see. Well, this looks like I've got all the questions, man. We appreciate everybody for joining us tonight. Just gave y'all an hour, a little bit after midnight. Good to be 3-0, though, man. I mean, got a little banged up tonight. Just remember, man, it's part of the game. Next man up, and hopefully we'll get healthy and, you know, get many guys we can ready for this Dallas game. So, any final comments, Kev?
I'm just always, you know, thank all of our fans. We will never take you for granted. Thank you for supporting the four-man rush. Thank you for, you know, going to our website and reading our articles. Thank you for, you know, interacting with us on, you know, on Twitter, Facebook, all of our social media platforms. You know, just want to say, you fans, you guys are the one that make us enjoy what we do. So we appreciate it. Love you guys. And, you know, keep sticking with us. And, you know, you're going to see the best to come.
All right. Well, there you go, man. We'll tune in Monday. See y'all out. Have a good night. Keep pounding.